Revelation 18:4-8. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In her cup, which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow.' Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." Brothers and sisters, 2 weeks ago we meditated on the announcement of the fall of Babylon, the scarlet woman, the harlot, also identified as Rome in Revelation 17:18, which says, "And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." This city also represents all people who live in a worldly life, only focused on here and now. And we saw how Rome fell into the hands of Alaric in 410 AD. Rome fell again before the Vandals in 455 AD. And finally, how Odoacer dismissed the last emperor, Romulus Augustus, in 476 AD. So the word of God had announced the fall of Babylon, and God governed the world in such a way that Rome really fell, because Babylon is Rome. Babylon represents this worldly system focused on consumerism. So Babylon is not only Rome, but it's also this worldly system focused on consumerism, luxury, vanity, lies, seduction, and opposition to the church. All those who are concerned with the here and now, despite heaven, hell, and eternity, will fall as Babylon fell. So the exhortation in Revelation 18 from verse 4-8 is based on this certainty. So today we'll see an exhortation to holiness from verses 4-8. John had already heard the first announcement that Babylon would surely fall. And now he listens a second voice coming from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues." Verse 4. Israel heard something like this before. We read the same message a few minutes ago. During our worship, we read from Isaiah 48:20 that people of God were commanded to get out from Babylon. And in Isaiah 52:11, the prophet says the same thing again. "Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord." Jeremiah also wrote similar words in Jeremiah 50:8. "Move from the midst of Babylon, go out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be like the rams before the flocks." This is so interesting because Jeremiah mentioned the rams. The rams used to run ahead of the flock, and the flock would follow them. So the rams took the initiative, so they were not waiting for someone else. They just ran, you know, ahead of the flock. So the same way Jeremiah is urging the people of God to run from Babylon, Zechariah also proclaimed, up Zion, escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. This is in Zechariah 2, verse 7. All of them have something in common. The people of God are urged to get out of the city. That is, they should not be partakers of its errors. And here in Revelation 18, verse 4, we see that the same thing happens. God's people listen to the angel's voice urging them to get out of Babylon. God's people from all ages are exhorted not to be partakers of the evil doings of Babylon. This city represents the world with its enchantment and seduction. Getting out of Babylon means to care about God's things, valuing time of prayer, mortifying the self with its sinful desires, and living for Him who renders the meaning of perfection and holiness. Leaving Babylon is doing not our own ways on the Lord's day, not finding our own pleasure on His holy day. It is also reading the Bible and meditating on God's commandments. Getting out of the sin city is the same as getting out of our comfort zone and facing the battle for the gospel. It is to speak about Jesus in season and out of season. It is to be careful not to look at things we should not look at. Getting out of the sin city is to look for the glory of our God. And there is a purpose to get out of Babylon. The objective is the same as we can see in the passages from the books of prophets, that I read just a minute ago. Lest you share in her sins. And you know, my mother used to say, you can tell a lot about a person by the friends they keep. Well, she said that because she was teaching us that whoever walks with bad people will sooner or later be an accomplice in their wrongdoings. It's hard to keep ourselves far from doing something wrong when we are walking together with people who do wrong things all the time. A monk during the Middle Ages, he wanted to approach a thief in order to show compassion. Before long, the monk not only began to cover up for the burglar, but also participated in some of his crimes. A teenager who was under my pastoral care back in Brazil, he stopped hanging out with Christian friends and began walking with vandals and drug users. He was spotted by the police officers while he was rolling large concrete balls on a busy street just to have fun seeing cars crashing on the concrete balls. This exhortation is for those who think they can poke the bear. Some people don't see the danger behind the adventure of a sinful desire. They think they can play with fire without getting burned. Some people found old girlfriends or old boyfriends on Facebook and started cheating their spouse. This is very common. Others think there is no problem about speaking bad words while chatting on the internet. So watch out. Babylon has a fantastic ability to attract those weak ones who are not fully satisfied in God. The other purpose is clear in our text. So the first one, lest you share in her sins. And the second purpose, unless you receive of her plagues. Remember that, do you remember that story of the monk during the Middle Ages? Well, the criminal monk had to face death on the gallows. Do you remember that teenager I mentioned to you rolling concrete balls on a busy street just to see cars crashing on them? That teenager that was caught rolling concrete balls on the street was beaten by the police officers, for he resisted them. Those who play with fire get burned. Those who poke the bear and hurt are dead. There's no middle term. Never underestimate sin and its consequences. Never do that. Never, never underestimate sin and its consequences. Those who want adventures with women or men other than their spouse on Facebook will destroy their family or marriage through adultery. So before opening a room in your heart to the world and its desires, remember that her sins have reached to heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. Verse 5. As the cry of God's people ascends to his throne of grace and mercy, so the sins of the wicked ascends to the throne or to his throne of righteousness. And they reach his throne of righteousness for just punishment and retribution. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of the days of Noah before the flood. Think of Israel before going captive into Babylon. Think of Belshazzar profaning the holy utensils looted from the temple before falling under the Medians and Persians. Think of him. He took the holy utensils and then he mocked them. He mocked the name of the Lord. Think also of some other stories you were witness. Some people are just playing with fire. They're going to be burned. What do all these stories I mentioned have in common? Unbridled sin and the consequent natural and necessary divine punishment as a manifestation of his righteousness. They have this in common. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed with a rain of fire and brimstone. Nothing can grow there today, not even a single weed. Nothing. Noah and his family were preserved in the ark. But the whole world was destroyed in such a way that even today we can find petroleum resulted from that catastrophe. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Chaldeans and its walls fell apart. And Belshazzar thought he could make fun of God's holiness. Immediately fingers wrote on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin, that is, counted, weighed, divided. That king was counted and measured by the holy judge. Obviously, he was found wanting as well as all people in the world. The time of his judgment had come. That very night, he was killed, and his kingdom became a Mede and Persians domain. Whenever one's iniquity rises to God's throne of righteousness, from there comes severe destruction as fast as lightning, bringing the righteous divine retribution upon them. God never pats people's heads or excuses the guilty. The manifestation of his judgment is absolutely necessary. It's not an act of his volition, the result of a personal decision. God doesn't decide to be righteous He is necessarily righteous. He is necessarily just. God didn't decide to act with justice. He is just. His holiness obliges him to pour out his wrath on the disobedient ones. God has no choice. He is righteous. And he's also love. And he is ready to forgive if you repent, if you believe, if you look for restoration in your life. God is ready to say, I forgive you by the blood of my Son, because he is full of compassion. For this reason, brothers and sisters, for this fact that we see in the Bible that God will judge Babylon, that means those who live a worldly life, this entire system, disobeys God's commandments. For this reason, the angel proclaims, render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In that same cup, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, am no widow. I will not see sorrow, she says. When the text says that Babylon will receive double pay for her works, it does not mean that she will receive twice as much punishment as she deserves. No. This means that she will receive the exact amount of punishment. The exact amount of punishment for what she has done. The punishment is double because its lust, arrogance, violence, smugness were also doubled. That's why the double judgment is compatible with its works. The torment and mourning for her is exactly proportionate with her pride and arrogance. In her pride of life, she said to herself, I am sitting as a queen. Look at her exalting herself. I am sitting as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will not see sorrow. They think like that. I am happy now. I will be happy forever. I am in control now. I will be in control forever. I am, they think about themselves. This arrogance can be recognized in other parts of Scripture. For instance, in Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, about the fall of the king of Babylon, we read, For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Some people think that it's speaking about Satan. No, it's speaking about men. It's speaking about the king of Babylon. It's speaking about people who live in arrogance. They don't humble themselves before God. It's speaking about them. They think they are gods. In Isaiah 47:8, we read, Therefore hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow. I shall not, nor shall I know the loss of children. They say, I will see no sorrow. The same thing as we see in Revelation. Babylon and its inhabitants were thinking that sadness would never reach them. They thought, we are truly happy and nothing sad will happen to us. They were underestimating God's righteousness, God's justice. Absolutely, they were doing that. But let the holy judge speak about their sin. Let the holy judge speak about the sin city, Babylon. Call together the archers against Babylon. All you who bend the bow, encamp against it all around. Let none of them escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all she has done. Do to her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah 50:29. This is the reality about those who live for here and now. They think they are indestructible and that they can do whatever they have in their sinful heart. They don't believe God because this way they can do whatever they want. Because without God, there is no rule. There is no standard of right and wrong. Right and wrong. That's why one philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher, he said, I gave up on believing God when I was 7 years old when my mother said, don't do that because God will punish you. I said, I forgot God because this way I would be free to do whatever I want. People live like that. They live as if God doesn't exist so that they may do whatever they want. But He's the King. And His will must be done. Well, so this is the reality about those who live for here and now. They think they are like this, indestructible. They can do whatever they want. They think they are gods. They say about themselves, I am. They enjoy parties. They squander money. They promote themselves and don't care about what's right. They live like the disobedient before the flood. And those who are living during Noah's days before the flood, they were concerned only about enjoying their days without taking the will of God into account. In Luke 17:22-37, Jesus Christ taught His disciples about how sudden the destruction will come upon the world. Please open your Bibles there. It's a long text, and I want to read this with you. Luke 17:22-37. So Jesus Christ taught His disciples about how sudden the destruction would come upon Babylon, upon the world. Then He said to His disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. So, brothers and sisters, notice that Jesus is exhorting them not to follow the teaching of the false teachers. So, watch out, be careful. There are a lot of false teachers teaching bad things around us. So, follow Jesus. Don't follow them. And then Jesus keeps saying, do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in His day. Look at this. Today we see people in the TV, on TV saying, world will end. This is the end of the world. And they say climate change is something that it will just extinguish people here. I don't know how to say that. But I hope you understood what I want to say. They say, we're going to die. We're going to die next year. One guy said, in 2012, everything will be done, gone in the world. Sorry. Well, we are in 2019, nothing happened. That's fine. And now a girl was speaking on TV and very angry, saying that everything's going to blow up. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to die because we are changing the climate. Don't follow them. Don't follow them. There was a guy here in the United States in 1840s, and he said, Jesus Christ will come again in 1844, October 22nd. Wow, we are close. But he said this in 1844. Nothing happened. That day was very well known as the Great Disappointment Day, because it was wrong. And then he said, I'm sorry. And then he went back to the Baptist church. William Miller, I think, is his name. Well, today some people are saying the world will end tomorrow, next year. Don't be concerned about that, because the world will end for them because of their sins. Because God will judge all the earth about His church. His church will suffer nothing when Jesus Christ comes again. They will be burned, but we will be happy and glad like a fat cattle going out, jumping, glad, because God is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. This is our hope. So don't follow them, because that day of the return of Jesus Christ will be unmistakable. Unmistakable. That will be very clear. But then Jesus Christ says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And I will tell you, it already happened. When Jesus came to redeem us on the cross, he was rejected and killed. And now we are just waiting the day of his return. And then the next verse here in Luke 17 will speak of this glorious day. Look. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. So Jesus Christ is describing details about his second coming, which will bring the final judgment. And he is using the days before the flood, you know, as an illustration. And I tell you, partial judgments are illustrations, good illustrations of the final judgment. How were they living before the flood? How? Look at this. Jesus will describe. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, look at this, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. So Jesus Christ is using partial judgments just to bring his teaching about his second coming. Let's see what happened in the days of Lot. Lot days. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, oh, it fits our passage, because the angel says, get out of Babylon, you see? Something like Lot's days. Get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because the destruction is coming. Get out of Babylon, because the destruction is coming as well, you see? When Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So notice how God's judgment will occur suddenly, such as it occurred with Rome and Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood. In that day, Jesus says, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away, because the judgment will come suddenly. There will be no time for that, and no purpose. God's judgment is coming. Why would someone go inside home to take something, to pick something up? No way. So it also says, and likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Do you remember what happened to Lot's wife. Look at this. She worried about the things here and now by looking backwards. And she became a pillar of salt. In other words, she didn't hear the voice of the angel saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." Jesus says, "Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is not teaching the secret rapture. He's teaching here the discriminatory character of the rapture. Some people will go to see Jesus, and some people will stay here for judgment. God will save his people, but the wicked will be punished. This is the character of this teaching here, the discriminatory character of the rapture. "And they answered and said to him, 'Where, Lord?' So he said to them, 'Whatever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together.'" I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, in other words, don't be anxious about the day when it comes. Don't be anxious about that. When the Lord comes again, it will be as clear as the gathering of the vultures indicates where the corpse is. It's very clear. When you see vultures just flying in circles, a lot of them, you can see. You can know that the corpse is right there. So they signalize it. They show the position of the corpse. So the same way, Jesus Christ will come and the signs will be so clear. The sign of his coming will be so clear. There will be no doubt. It's our Lord who is coming soon. Finally, the angel communicates the terrible sentence. "Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her." Verse 8. "It will surely occur when the right time comes, and it will be too late for repentance. Then I tell you, repent today while it's time. Listen to this serious exhortation. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues." How should we come out of the city of destruction? Turn off the TV if the name of the Lord has been profaned. Use the Lord's day to be more and more near to his word. Change the websites you are navigating if they bring you to the wrong path. Don't open pop-ups with pornography. Be content with the goods God has given to you, because we tend to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Let's do the same as the rams mentioned by Jeremiah. Don't wait for someone's leadership. Take the initiative and lead others to obey the angel's voice, the commandment of the Lord. "Come out of Babylon, my people." Amen.